What if the most significant extraterrestrial contact in human history happened not with a dramatic invasion, but through quiet encounters in the remote Mojave Desert? In the mid-1960s, a young Air Force weather observer named Charles Hall found himself stationed at isolated desert ranges where previous observers had mysteriously abandoned their duties. What began as routine weather monitoring evolved into one of the most compelling accounts of sustained alien contact ever documented. Unlike sensationalized UFO stories, Hall's experiences reveal beings dubbed tall whites not as invaders or saviors, but as complex visitors with their own fears, families, and apparent diplomatic arrangements with military authorities. His matter-of-fact documentation transforms our understanding of what first contact might actually look like. Fresh out of training at Desert Center Air Base, I quickly heard whispers about Range 4 Harry, a mysterious desert entity. Descriptions varied: a horse caught in an atomic blast with one fluorescent white side, blue eyes, a human-like face, and blonde hair. Others called Harry a radioactive horse, a prospector with a burro, or floating light patches. Despite variations, the fluorescent appearance, unusual movements, and apparent intelligence remained consistent. My first clue came when I discovered my predecessor had falsified weather readings, using the number 4 because it seemed trustworthy. More disturbing was his terror after encountering an albino coyote that stood upright, his arm scar and fear undeniably real. At the supply depot, a sergeant accused me of fraud for requisitioning 120 weather balloons monthly when previous observers had used only 1853 over 6.5 years. 19 requested none at all. I explained I was actually performing the required 5 daily runs, unlike predecessors who abandoned their duties. Something at the ranges was frightening observers away that they couldn't or wouldn't officially report. While at my weather station, I spotted movement and white flashes in the distant sagebrush. Following these through winding paths, I expected to find a lost child, but instead cornered a chalk-white creature about 3 feet tall wearing a white jumpsuit. She had large blue eyes that wrapped unusually far around her head and four-fingered hands with claw-like nails. Clearly terrified, she trembled before me. I backed away toward my weather shack, speaking reassuringly. As I left, I glimpsed a 6-foot-tall adult version rushing to the small one before both disappeared into the sagebrush. Later, the Desert Center base commander sent a strange message acknowledging I was sick on that road and thanking me for rescuing a butterfly from the sagebrush. He granted medical leave and assured me I needn't fear anything white on the ranges, confirming military authorities not only knew about these beings, but maintained some relationship with them. Late one night in my isolated barracks, I sensed something watching me. Fleeing to my truck, I witnessed a shocking sight around 2 a.m. A tall, chalk-white figure with blonde hair in fluorescent aluminum clothing sprinting from the barracks at impossible speed, followed by 3 similar children. Minutes later, a male figure followed. I timed them. The female and children ran 25-30 miles per hour, the male about 35 miles per hour. Troubled by these speeds, 2.5 times faster than Olympic athletes, I conducted my own experiment. On a deserted morning, I measured 100 yards and timed myself running. My best speed was under 8 miles per hour, nowhere near what I'd witnessed. Days later, at midnight near Mojave Wells, I spotted 2 similar white figures whose suits seemed to absorb headlights while generating their own light. When they noticed me, they fled up a canyon at over 30 miles per hour. Their footprints suggested they weighed only about 90 pounds, despite being nearly 6 feet tall. These observations forced me to confront an uncomfortable reality. These beings possessed physical capabilities far beyond human limits. Under the midsummer moon, I rose at 2:20 a.m. for weather observations in the Meadows of Arcturus, beautiful valleys north of Mojave Wells. While tracking a weather balloon, I spotted two small white fluorescent lights approaching. Through my theodolite at 75x magnification, I saw two humanoid figures, one about 6'9 tall, the other 5'7, floating inches above the gravel road, emitting a soft glow. When I briefly used my flashlight, they retreated a mile down the road into the sagebrush. I then spotted a third fluorescent figure, a tall, thin man in a white aluminum jumpsuit with an open helmet. Two more white patches moved hurriedly along the mountains to join him. Strange thoughts entered my mind, suggesting I ignore what I was seeing, followed by an unnatural wave of fear that quickly dissipated. I realized these were intelligent beings when I found them huddled nearby, likely a mother and child separated from their group. The male figure positioned himself atop a billboard, apparently helping the others. I suddenly received thoughts that weren't my own, realizing they could transmit thoughts through electronics in their helmets. I thought, "I will not harm any of you." He responded telepathically, "I know, you have not been harmed." Through his electronics, I heard their conversation, the woman terrified, while he reassured her of my harmlessness. After reuniting, he thanked me for my hospitality, and I retreated to my weather shack. At Mojave Wells, I developed the happy charade, a psychological strategy of denial and selective attention that helped me function amid inexplicable phenomena while living between two worlds. During a supply run, the Chief Master Sergeant asked why I'd lasted when previous observers fled. He wondered how close danger would need to come before I'd feel threatened, before deciding God isn't watching. I admitted my limit was about 3/4 of a mile. On my return journey, my truck broke down. A speeding Cadillac missed me by less than an inch without touching a single hair or thread of my clothing. In that moment, I felt God answering the sergeant's question, showing he didn't even need 3/4 of an inch to protect me. This experience reinforced my belief that I was being protected, whether by God, the beings themselves, or forces I couldn't comprehend, enabling me to continue my duties when others fled in terror. What makes this account compelling isn't just the detailed description of the beings, but the complex relationship that emerges. These weren't invaders or abductors, but visitors with their own fears, families, and apparent diplomatic arrangements with authorities. The tall whites showed caution around humans, protected their children, and communicated when necessary, all while military officials maintained secrecy and controlled contact. Perhaps the most profound insight from these desert encounters is that first contact might not arrive with dramatic landings or global announcements. Instead, it may already be happening in remote places, managed by small groups as two species learn to coexist. The universe may be reaching out to us not with a shout, but with a whisper, if only we have the courage to listen beyond the boundaries of what we believe possible.